This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
It's go time.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Brees Hall, he's going to throw the ball.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Jets are going to win it.
Touchdown, Tayshaun Booty.
What a weapon.
Pittman snared it in with one hand. Tucker Kraft having a night.
The Rich Eisen Show on today's show. Complete Week 8 recap, Monday night preview, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of this Monday Rich Eisen Show is on the air on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, and of course ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're about to take a ton of phone calls and clear the banks. We've already talked about a lot of Week 8 National Football League action. Let's kick off hour three with a little bit of college football. So I was watching Alabama survive South Carolina.
Great game.
Yes.
Two of the top quarterbacks we're going to see in the draft next April.
And that's something we're going to talk about. Daniel Jeremiah on Thursday's show is going to join us. I think now is a good enough time for us to try and see who's available.
I like it.
Sark, our friend Diana Russini of The Athletic, put out a report earlier in the day on Saturday that Sark's reps are kicking tires on National Football League jobs like, say, the Titans. He pushed back vehemently in his post-game press conference after Texas survived the ground in Mississippi State.
Well, that makes me think that it's true then.
By the way, Arch had a terrific game.
He did.
And then got concussed in the final throws, and they won that game.
In overtime.
Mm-hmm. So I was watching those. Getting ready for Michigan-Michigan State on NBC.
Yeah, a little tighter than you thought it was going to be, huh?
Dude, it was thoroughly enjoyable. Thoroughly enjoyable. It's so much fun.
Yeah, but you were sweating.
When was I sweating?
When it was 10-7 most of the game?
Listen, let me just tell people this. Michigan versus Michigan State is really one of my favorite things to watch. You know, and it doesn't go Michigan's way all the time. And there was a moment in this game where second half, Michigan had only a 10-7 lead, get the ball to start the second half, and Bryce Underwood does not see the blitzer directly coming at him, in front of him. He gets hit, fumbles the ball, Michigan State recovers. The crew covering the game on NBC, who I had, the delightful people, who I had at the YouTube game. They produced my game in Brazil. They fell in love with the Michigan State defensive coordinator because he was very animated. They cut to him, like, celebrating every sack, every play, like it was New Year's Eve, the ball's dropping, all that stuff. And the ball did drop on the ground. Michigan State had it. But there was a flag on the play for an offsides, and Michigan State fans are going crazy about how the refs screwed him out of a big fumble. There was one game in 2021 that Michigan lost all year long, okay, in the Big Ten. One game. Just one game. That's it. They lost all year long, and Aiden Hutchinson had a sack force fumble of Michigan State for a touchdown, or right before. It wasn't either. It was not a touchdown. It was right inside, like, the 10-yard line. They reviewed it, called it back, and yada, yada, yada. Kenny Walker ran for a gajillion yards. Michigan lost that game. So, cry me a little bit of a river is all I'm telling Sparty right now, okay? It was a big play in the game, no doubt. And you could say the guy wasn't offsides easily. But anyway, the reason why I bring all this up is at some point I'm like, let's see what's going on with LSU and Texas A&M. And LSU was up in this game.
Yeah, they went at halftime.
They did. And then the second half happened. And the roof caved in. And you could see Brian Kelly. There was video of him talking to some LSU officials just at this moment. This photograph of him leaving the field on Saturday night. He had just talking to some LSU members of their staff, athletic department, wondering what was being said. And I'm wondering if this
Clean out your office.
I'm just wondering if this is a photograph of a man who knew he was leaving the field in Baton Rouge for the last time wearing LSU gear.
It's like Bud Kilmer at halftime in Varsity Blues.
Because, you know, LSU has not done well at all. They haven't performed very well at all with Brian Kelly at the helm. And we just saw what happened when Penn State had lost a couple in a row. And sure enough, next day, we find out. I guess it all trickles out. Thamel was the first to report saying that they had informed him of their intention to fire him.
Which is an interesting way to put things.
No. I'll tell you why this is.
Why is it?
Because when somebody's got a buyout of $54 million, we need to have conversations about how you're getting it.
Right. When?
What you still need to do to receive it. Because I don't know if somebody, you know, Baton Rouge, Buddy Garrett, Chevrolet, stroking that check.
Good question.
Happy friend of the program.
I don't know, man. When you're and this is the thing that I'm taking away from this. In this day and age, when everybody's wringing their hands over NIL and players wanting to get paid, not to go full Jay Billis on you here, but these buyouts are stupid absurd. And I understand that this is put in there to make sure you as a head coach don't just bounce somewhere else. That you don't pull on me what Brian Kelly pulled on Notre Dame for me to go get Brian Kelly.
That's true.
That you make it so prohibitive to you. You, coach, aren't paying us $50 million to just leave us because you don't want to be around here anymore, that you suddenly view us as a stepping stone. By the way, as you know, when Brian Kelly left for LSU, boy, did I love calling Notre Dame a stepping stone job. I had a field day with that one as a Michigan man.
You did.
That may be why these buyouts are absurd, but the fact that Brian Kelly, for the next 5 years, if he doesn't take another job, doesn't want to take another job, doesn't want to be a coach anymore, can just sit back and make $800,000+ a month for 5 years to not coach LSU football is insane. It's absurd. It's obscene.
Yeah, it's obscene.
These are public institutions. Where's this money coming from? I understand the TV contracts are fat. That's insane. And so I don't want to hear it. Oh, no, we can't give the NIL dollars to this kid. Oh, my God. Coaches are making an obscene amount of money to not win. And teams are like, we'll eat it. Penn State ate it. James Franklin and...
Biff was 50.
Right? It's insane. It's a nine-figure buyout for two head coaches. Yeah. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Let's go to Levi in Denver, Colorado. What's up, Levi?
Howdy. How are we doing this morning?
I'm well, sir. How are you doing?
Doing good. I wanted to call in, first of all. Great job on the Overreaction Monday podcast. Love listening to that every Monday.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
But I'm calling in as a Broncos fan. Now, first of all, I would apologize to TJ, but you never apologize for winning. So I want to see the Broncos get their flowers. They're doing great, Bo Nix on defense. But I'm actually calling in about the Cowboys because I have friends that are Cowboys fans, and I thought it was funny because the Broncos did really well, but I think Rex Ryan put it pretty well this morning, said offensive coordinators basically just have to decide whether they want to run or pass at this point against this defense. And so my question to you is this salvageable? Because they're still around 500. Their offense has done really great, but I think they need to do something big to kind of fix this defense up and help them, and other than go back in time and sign Micah Parsons, is there something, a big move or something that they could do that could maybe help them the rest of the way this season, because I don't think they could continue like this.
Levi in Denver, I greatly appreciate it. The answer to that is no. I don't see a defensive move that could be made in the trade deadline.
Well,
do you?
When Tom was here, he kind of asked me that question, and I really couldn't give him an answer other than Trey Hendrickson or, you know, at the
Max Crosby, you were eyeing him in Las Vegas.
I never even saw that as an option, but Quinton Williams was kind of on.
Yeah, the Jets aren't trading him.
They're not trading him. So if it's not one of those two, I really don't know. I'm sure there's got to be somebody out there who might be up for grabs, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, when you
have somebody. That's not one person that can fix that mess, that's for sure.
Thanks for the call, Levi. I hope that gives you your answer.
And Levi, I predicted that we were going to lose that game, as you know, because Denver's got our number. So,
well,
it wasn't a surprise.
I'll just tell you this on the Dallas Cowboys, man, is that, you know, the reason why Max Crosby is not available, and reportedly Pete Carroll went to Max last week to tell him all the conversation you're hearing about us taking calls on you, we are not trading you. You are here. You're ours, and you are, and we are yours, because apparently he wants to stay in Las Vegas, and the reason why he's not available, the reason why Quinton Williams for the New York Jets, as down in the dumps as they are, is not available, is, wait for it, you don't trade people like them.
That's an interesting philosophy.
You know what I'm saying?
That a team would have. Let me get this straight. So a team would know they have a generational talent. Let me get this straight.
You pay them.
And that you pay them and you hold on to them and you build around them.
After you drafted them.
And you don't let them go to another team that regularly kicked you in the tuchus for decades, right?
Wow.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm just going to note
that. You know things for the Cowboys are dire when T.J. Jefferson starts dropping Yiddish words to make a point.
Honestly, credit to the Browns for not letting Myles Garrett leave. They made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
That's another one. So I don't know who they can get to suddenly, like, as you know, one or two players can solidify. Hold on a second. That kid Overshown is really good. And they opened a practice window for him, and hopefully he comes back as strong and as fast as ever. He can affect some things. And then maybe you add one, or if not two, players in trades. And no, laugh all you want,
man. None of this is good. We all know this, all right? And it sounds great, but it's not going to happen.
Well, I don't think it's salvageable this season for the Super Bowl.
The what?
For your needs and purposes as a Cowboys fan. An NFC Championship game appearance to finally end that talk.
Yeah, no.
I don't see it.
They're scoring points, Rich.
That's another good point.
They are.
Until they face a defense like the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
And then
the best in the business.
See you later. Dak was asked after the game, what was the question was, what are the Cowboys? Interesting. It's not who are the Cowboys.
Who is Gamora?
I guess is that one step above why are the Cowboys?
Yes.
And just leaving it at that?
Yeah. Where are the Cowboys?
We know where they are.
When are the Cowboys?
Guardians of the Galaxy. The
right. But what are the Cowboys? An interesting use of a question.
Okay.
3-4-1. We got to find consistency, honestly. The frustrating part about, you know, coming out here and we lost a game playing our best, you know, you can somewhat live with that, you know. But when we didn't play anything close to that, I mean, think Shotty said it in there. If there's somebody that feels like they played their best, come forward and say it. And I don't know if there's any player in that locker room that's going to feel that way. And so, talking about identity, trying to find it, we were far from anything that we've been, especially on the offensive side of the ball today. And so that's what's as frustrating as anything is we didn't even play to our identity. We didn't play to our standard. And we've got to find a way to do that on the road.
I know Javonte Williams scored twice. That had to feel good for him. But he only averaged 3.2 yards a carry. So that was off. Dak was off. He sacked twice. A passer rating just north of 51. That was off. And his passer rating entering week 8 was double that. More than double that, 107.6. 107.6, it's a light FM station in Dallas? Yeah.
We had the game started off great. Yeah. Had a nice first drive of the game.
Agreed.
Looked like we were about to punch it in for a tutty. We didn't. Got the field goal, and then it was after that.
That's one way to put it.
Yep. Thank you for the sound effects.
Thank you.
3-4-1. He went all Michael Winslow on us.
Well, the radio folks couldn't see me.
TJ Jefferson and Police Squad 9. Police Academy. My bad. Dallas's schedule. Then we'll take a break and take more phone calls. And, of course, we'll take the Broncos side of things here. Dallas's schedule. I know. That's why this was so big.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was right
home
there,
home against Arizona on a Monday night, by home again, and then at Vegas on a Monday night before you take on the Eagles, who are 6-2. If you are 4-3-1, and the Eagles are 6-2, Eagles are on a bye while you're home against Arizona, which is going to get apparently Kyler Murray back.
Yeah, and we don't do well against them.
No, either. I understand that, and you know Kyler's famous quote of him saying, "Yeah, I grew up here in Dallas. Why am I concerned about Dallas? What have they done? Remember that?
Yeah, well,
a few times that Kyler Murray actually clapped back at anything.
Yeah, I wish he would have stayed silent.
And then when you're on your bye, Philadelphia's at Green Bay, and then while you're in Vegas on a Monday night, Philadelphia's home against Detroit. And then shows up to Dallas. You know, so Dallas wins the next two. You're 5-4-1. So that would be the answer to what are the Cowboys? What could the Cowboys be? 5-4-1. Let's say the Eagles, if the Eagles lose both of those at Green Bay and home against Detroit, all right. Now you're only half game back going into that week 12 game, right?
Yes.
If they split, though, they're 7-3. And you'd need to win to go 6-4-1 to go 7-4. And now you're a half game back. With no games left against Philadelphia. I'm trying to help the man. I'm trying to.
Yeah, you know what we're talking
about. What's salvageable and what isn't. But winning and stopping people on defense would be the first order of business. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great. Scoring points. Like
you know what would help that?
Except yesterday.
If you had a generationally talented player on your defense who could help stop the other.
Yeah. And you could try to get somebody else's, but they don't.
They don't usually
trade those.
Yeah.
Okay.
But hey, we get those two draft picks.
Maybe there's less pie.
844-204-RICH. But it's still there. It's still there. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Since 2013, the annual Progressive Keys to Progress event has provided deserving veterans with vehicles, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more about this program at keystoprogress.com. 844-204-RICH. We'll chat with you. Denver Broncos, we'll talk about them. World Series Game 3 at Dodger Stadium tonight. We'll talk about it all with you here on this Monday edition of The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature. and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Back here, 844-204-RICH, the number to dial here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, the ESPN app, and Disney Plus. All right. Okay, I need a little taste of home. What I'm about to say are words that I can't wait to see who this is, because I knew about 50 of them. Tony in Staten Island, New York. What's up, Tony?
Tony?
Hello?
Are you there, Tony?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Tony. It's Rich from Staten Island. What's up, Tony?
How you doing?
I went to Port Richmond High School.
Oh, so you know my dad? How old are you?
I'm 61. I know you're a little younger than I am. You went to Susan Wagner.
That's correct. But you must have been there when my dad was there then, at Port Richmond. Joel Eisen?
What year did he graduate?
No. He was a French teacher and a college advisor. He's an assistant principal at Port Richmond High School forever. Tony.
Really?
How old are you again?
Really?
How old are you?
Wow.
I think he said 61.
61?
Jeff Dowd was two years older than me. And I was on JV when I was playing football.
Okay.
And
look at us.
We had alumni off of Watch Out Road there, Jimmy Max. You remember that restaurant there?
Of course. How do I forget that, Tony? Come on now.
Okay.
Look at us going way back.
We had Port Richmond alumni. We had a fundraiser for our Port Richmond High School, and Jeff was there.
Okay. Very good. Look at all of us hanging out. All right, Andy, what do you got?
But I wanted to talk to you anyway. I know you're a Jeff fan. My brother's a Jeff fan. My best friend's a Jeff fan.
Yeah.
My wife's friend's a Jeff fan, but my son is a Giant fan.
Okay.
And what we're going through in New York, and I live here in Florida now.
Okay.
But what we're going through in New York with all this, you know, coaching staff and all that, I don't think it's the coaching for the Giants, in my opinion.
It isn't.
And I know the Jets is going through a hard time, too. But Brian Daboll's doing his best to get his plays. And unfortunately, all our good stars are getting hurt.
Yep.
And all I've been hearing is fire Daboll. You got to give him a chance. And, me as a former football player, I understand. And poor Jackson Dart, he's doing his best. And I wish he would have started early, but he's losing all his key plays, you know, Malik Nabers and even Scatterboo. And unfortunately, he dislocated his ankle, and I'm hoping he'll be back. But he's standing all by himself. And if they're having a losing season, they want to throw Daboll under the bus and say, fire him, and it's not the answer.
I agree, Tony, because, Tony, this is what I would say to you. Who else is there? What are we going to do? Who are you going to get?
Yep.
It's going to be somebody else's coordinator, right? Unless you want to try and swing for the fences and go for some home run, like ask Bill Cowher, are you done? Honestly, like I don't know. Like, what are you gonna do? Who are you gonna get? You're gonna go get you want to go get Belichick and save him from North Carolina?
Ooh.
And would that even be the answer for Jackson Dart? Because
no, it won't.
It wouldn't. Like, I, with all due respect to Belichick, I mean, he's a guy that look at what Mac Jones is right now. I mean, you got to go get somebody who will be attached at the hip of this kid and be the guy. Like, Sean Payton would have been that guy. But Daboll could be that guy. I mean, I think they vibe. They're vibing. They're jiving.
I'm going to tell you this much. You look at, you know, all these coaches that come in, and the coaches that wanted the quarterback, let him develop and have this unity with, you know, calling plays with him. And Jackson, I tell you this much, he knows how to get out of the pocket and extend the plays and off schedule to make the chain move. And that's what you needed in the Giants. But by changing a quarterback, he's going to start all over again, and it may not fit the system that he needs. You know, with this Ole Miss that he's playing, he's doing the same style. Ole Miss.
I got you, man. I'm with you. Tony, don't lose this number. I miss hearing people who sound like my friends growing up. And you take care of yourself, all right, Tony? You got it.
All right. You have my number, right? We'll keep in touch.
Adam should have it in the back.
I'm telling you. And the Jets fan, as a Jets fan, they need to just let these guys develop. Yeah. Give them a chance. Can't keep throwing fire to all the coaches. They got to give them a chance.
Tony and Staten Island. From Florida.
Rack.
He said he was 61. Is that what he said?
I think 61.
Because if he's 61, I'm 56.
He said you were younger.
There's no doubt Dad, he was there when my dad was there.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, he said
that
you were
took
a little
me
young.
Back. I was like back in New York.
I was about to get emotional.
Car.
Somebody talking about, oh, my, you know,
that was great.
I don't know your dad, which, you know, is always great to hear. Sam in Terre Haute, Indiana. What's going on?
Hey, Rich. You guys have been talking about the Indianapolis Colts being more successful than anyone would expect here recently. I feel like Indiana as a whole was in a renaissance for sports right now, be it the Pacers, the Hoosiers, and the Colts.
Oh, Cignetti. Oh, my God. I don't know a Big Ten fan that doesn't have Cignetti envy right now. I don't. Honestly,
I'm seriously impressed by how everyone is doing right now. So I want to propose a overreaction Monday for you.
Okay.
And that is that an Indiana football team will be present in a championship game this year.
Oh, I don't think that's an overreaction. Don't you think?
Don't you think? I like it.
All right.
It's good.
How about
it's
this?
Good.
Now I'm going to flip the script on you, Sam, about a what's more likely, another staple. What's more likely, the Colts or the Hoosiers are involved in that game?
Hoosiers.
Yeah. Hoosiers. Mm, okay.
I think it's
good. Okay. Coach Cignetti.
I'm a born and raised Colts fan since I was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Been season tickets for a long time, but I think the Hoosiers have the better chance.
Okay, Sam, I appreciate the guy. Before I let you go, Sam, do you ever see the movie Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid? You ever see that movie?
I have not.
Okay, it's an old Steve Martin movie that I believe Carl Reiner directed. The villain was trying to use cheese to melt towns, and the only town he was able to melt was Terre Haute, Indiana. So I hope I'm glad that you're doing well. That's a very deep pop culture reference. I don't expect you to get, but look it up. It's also a great Steve Martin movie.
I'm gonna have to look it up. I will.
A lot of fun. Sam in Terre Haute, Indiana. Glad to hear they're all fine there.
Rich.
It's the only. Honestly, I don't know why I remember this stuff. I'm disturbed.
Well, you're a Jet fan.
Okay, pal.
Hold on.
Okay. How's the Celtics season gonna go? Right now, the only thing they're talking about is Jalen Brown's hair dye.
How's the Celtics season going? Everyone in the national media owes Jason Tatum so much, so many apologies and respect. The dude is literally the MVP of the league.
Okay.
And he's not even playing.
Okay. You guys. David in Richmond, Virginia. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, David?
Uh-oh.
Is it David's getting some of the Jalen Brown topic right now to put on his phone? You there, David? Okay, we got to put David back on hold right
it's
now.
It's in his pocket.
Is it his pocket?
He's walking. Yeah,
he's
just
glad to see
around.
Us. Okay.
Glad to see
us. C in Alabama. Did I get it right? Did I get it right?
That's right.
Is this our friend from Alabama calling?
Yes, it is.
You see, like the letter C.
Yeah. Well, my first name is Cione.
Okay.
So I just say C. Most people can't pronounce it, so I just tell them C.
I'm from an area where C is for cookie, which is good enough for me.
Hey-o.
All right.
Well, again, love your show.
Thank you.
First-time caller.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say something about these coaches in the college. I don't know why these presidents and athletic directors don't have the mindset of, how about, okay, we want this coach. Here's your 3 to 4 year contract. You're going to be one of the top paid coaches in the league for us, this division, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, after those 3 years, if it's going and progressing like they want, okay, here's another 3 years. But why are you paying a guy to not complete a job?
Because the job is so, it's so untenable, and whatever's going on, like, we have no idea what's going on in the athletic department and what's going on in that locker room and the gear grinding going on. We have no idea, and it's just like, we've got more, you know, television contract money coming in, and we'll pay it, you know, and I guess that's the way it's going right now. It is stunning to me, though. It is stunning to me. Yeah. That's an insane amount of money. That's being thrown out.
I've been trying to preach that to some of my friends. I said, I know it probably would never change, but why waste that money when it could be going something else? You know, I wish I could go somewhere, stay at a place 3-4 years. Hey, you're not performing good enough. Here's your
$50 million buyout. Okay, thank you.
Me too, see? Me too. Call back. That's CN Alabama right here.
Can I bring up something about these college coaches? If you're Lane Kiffin, are you answering any of these phone calls from Florida and LSU? Because you know he's going to get them.
You can win a national championship from Indiana. You can win a national championship from Ole Miss. You're going to have to come up with something for me to leave. How does that sound? You know what I mean? Kurt Cignetti's building what he's building in Indiana right now.
Yeah, but these other schools, Florida and LSU specifically,
so what?
Have more resources.
What resources do they have?
They got Brian Kelly away from Notre Dame.
Got it. And so what are the resources? The facilities?
Yes.
Okay. So then here's
name recognition.
The amount of money that it would cost me to pay you and the amount of money that would it cost me to upgrade my facilities is probably less than what it would be to buy you out.
Okay, interesting point. Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, I mean, you just do the math. Do the math. So, no.
So you're staying put if you're Lane.
I don't know. Is he happy there? Does he like his house? Does he like his living?
Seems like it.
Okay, then great. Then why would he go?
They're in the top 10.
Yeah, he can win. Now all you got to do is get that ticket to the dance of 12, soon to be 16. That's all. And also, and be as relevant as possible that when it all does eventually change, where we're just going to create one big boat.
Yep.
That 64 teams are in, and we're just going to create our own league. Well, why would you go? What's the big deal?
Does LSU call Saban?
Good luck. Why would he leave College Game Day? Why would he leave? He wins every week right now.
$20 million a year.
So what? He's got enough money.
Yeah, he's got money.
I'm not counting anyone else's money. Just telling you.
But he and Miss Terry are happy. He wins every week. He's hanging with Pat. It's lit. It's a hot show. What else does he want to do? Like, does he really want to go back to LSU? What he's been there, done that. What's it? Why would he do it? And deal with the NIL and kids basically saying, hey, coach, if you don't play me, I'm going in a portal. Do you see?
Is that kind of reason he left?
Did I see a kid from LSU basically say, I'm done playing? I got to over the weekend.
No, really?
Yeah, like we're 5-3 right now. I got to check out my options. I'm going to go pro. Why would I get hurt? Which is by the way.
I mean, if he's going pro rather than transferring, I get it.
Kind of a rational decision.
Yeah.
If it's going to enter the draft, I get it.
Why would you do that? Instead, hang out where you are. You win every week. You're watching McAfee, you know, get these kids kicking field goals. And euphoria. It's like television euphoria every week. You got a front row seat. What do you, why? Why would he leave it? Money?
Work.
I mean, ego to win another championship.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Hey, man, Broncos, the bandwagon was full all summer long. And then they start 1-2, right? Yeah, they start 1-2. Yeah. And in losing two of the three games, they didn't trail in a single second of those games. Remember that? They lost to the gun.
Right. Oh, at the buzzer. Yeah.
in Indianapolis. And by the way, how big is that leverage call potentially going to be? That might be the difference between playing in Indianapolis or Denver for the AFC Championship game.
One seed. Oh, wow. Yeah.
That week two loss and game and decision for, hey, let's wipe off the missed field goal with a leverage penalty. Let's try it again. Colts win. But the here and now is Bo Nix for a three-quarter stretch, that fourth quarter against the Giants and then the first half against the Cowboys. 60 points on the board, 491 total yards, and 6 total touchdowns for Bo Nix in that period of time. He had 4 touchdown passes against your Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
And the only other Denver Broncos who have 3 such career wins or more with 4 or more passing touchdowns. You want to name those Bronco quarterbacks?
Peyton Manning?
John Elway.
Yeah. You both nailed each one of them.
I was kidding. Yeah, I mean,
you've won. Don't bid anymore. That's it. Nix and John Elway. And Peyton Manning. And RJ Harvey. How about this one? Try this one.
Coming out party.
Hold on a minute. Last Broncos rookie with 3 or more touchdowns in a game. Go for it.
TD?
No.
I'm kidding.
Mike Anderson.
No, no. Don't have to kid.
No.
Rookie.
Rookie.
Like
rookie,
Olandis Gary?
Mike Anderson?
I'll give you a hint. Coach Spanky Jenky?
Oh, Clinton Portis.
Who are the other ones?
Sheriff Gonna Get You?
Sheriff Gonna Get You? Was it Dolomite Jenkins?
Dolomite Jenkins. Yes. No, those were great. Those were great.
I love those.
All his characters. Halloween week, man. Let's only think that we're mentioning Clinton Portis. Man, that was so much fun on the NFL Total Access in the beginning years of NFL
crazy.
Network. Yeah. 2002, week 15. R.J. Harvey. Joining that category.
That was great because I dropped him that week before.
Troy Franklin getting it done. Dobbins with 111 rush yards. There are some good eats. Season high 44 points. Most points in a game for the Broncos in 7 years. And they did it without Dre Greenlaw because Dre Greenlaw decided to celebrate the biggest comeback win maybe of his entire lifetime by targeting Brad Allen. He was suspended and they did what they did defensively to Dak and everyone else. Hey, man, offense like that, defense like that, special teams, that's how you win championships. Sean Payton's building a little bit of a monster there. It's just, can they be consistent?
Right.
You know, the three-quarter droughts here, the four-quarter droughts there.
At least this one, there was kind of no doubt that they were going to win it, and, you know, they ran away with it.
Next up for them is they're at Houston, which just came up with a nice win for them. C.J. Stroud.
Stroud is,
I was texting my Ohio State buddies. The Stroud, the national semifinal against Georgia type of C.J. Stroud showed up in that game
yesterday.
Well,
when he gets protection, it doesn't matter who his receivers are. He can throw dimes.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens there at Houston. We're assuming Nico Collins could be back and Christian Kirk could be back, and they'll start feeling good about themselves. Nick Chubb out-snapped Woody Marks, and they both had a good game. And then the big ones in division start. Kansas City, here we come, week 11, after a Thursday night visit against Vegas at home. So they got at Houston and then two more at home and then a bye at Washington, at Vegas. That's a big one home for Green Bay. Won't that be fun? A lot of people might be talking about Super Bowl previews and whatnot. Christmas at Kansas City could be for all the marbles, man, before a home date against the Chargers. Fun stuff for the Broncos. They're a fun team to watch. Sean Payton's out of his gourd, you know, with the play calling. He's just as locked in as ever. So nice win for Denver, man. Given that bandwagon all it can support. Speaking of bandwagon, Dodger fan O'Shea Jackson Jr. is about to join us.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Well done. Excellent transition.
Thank you, sir.
That's why you're the best in the business.
How dare you say that about my fellow Dodger?
I appreciate it.
No, if he was going to say, oh, and speaking of frauds, he would have mentioned you.
Yeah,
calling you a bandwagon fan is too light.
By the way, after that one game, I was like, they were like, called the LA Yankees for a second.
Calling you a bandwagon fan is an insult to bandwagon.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Boom. Wear my hat.
Why don't you just go home?
Burn that hat.
I'm pulling out my second hat.
By the way, I want to know.
I'm pulling out my second hat.
Is Pops coming out of the center field wall for game three?
I don't think so, man.
Okay. We'll find out.
Shane said we'll enjoy this.
No, he will not.
He said I could cheer for both teams.
No, he will not.
He said it.
That is an abomination of a hat, and only RJ Herrera could have made it. Yeah. I've been told that's who gave it to you.
He actually got it.
Nah,
fire him.
I might have to have another sit-down talk with him.
Another one?
No, I'm just kidding. Another one. 844-204-RICH is the number to tell.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Baby.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
That's right.
Just want to briefly tell you about our partners with Sonos. We love it in our household. Susie and I have Sonos all over the place, and we love it. One kid can listen to one song in the kitchen. Another one can listen to a song in the living room, and then we'll tell them to turn it down. But now we're going to get into other things Sonos doesn't want me to get into. The studio quality sound, it makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Certainly if we're watching a game, it is awesome. We love the sound bars. We love the speakers. I love the headsets. Explore it all at Sonos.com. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. Oh, Shea Jackson Jr. is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, sir.
What an excellent read for Sonos.
I appreciate you saying that. I do these things for a living.
Yeah, this is my first time seeing a Sonos read.
Question for you, sir.
Yeah.
Is this bobblehead of your dad from game two of last year's World Series, is that going to happen tonight? Have we seen him tonight? You got any inside scoop? Are we seeing Cube come out of the center field wall and essentially end the game before it starts like he did in game two?
That would be a shock to me. Okay. Last year was such a moment, especially with Fernando passing and everything that kind of went into it. There was a special moment. I don't know what, if there's anything cooking, but, the Jonas Brothers seem to have Toronto on lock for their game, too.
Look at you. I thought you would say your dad would come out and try to turn Drake into Fat Joe.
Oh, my goodness, Richard. Richard, please.
Turn Drake into the Fat Joe of this series.
You are in rare form this Monday, dude. You've been hanging out with TJ too much.
What are you talking about?
Here with this rap beef talk.
Was Drake at the World Series?
Yeah.
He won
with his birthday. What a crazy coincidence.
That's how big the game one was.
He is Toronto.
Hold on a second. Are you insinuating that something was fixed because it was Drake's birthday?
No, I'm just saying it's a crazy coincidence.
No, stop it.
I'm just saying, it's a crazy coincidence.
I thought he's supposed to be the jinx. Isn't he supposed to be
the cooler? He's the mush.
He is the mush.
He's supposed to be the cooler.
Drake is the mush.
Oh, yeah, we did steal home field advantage. Well, I'm just saying it's a crazy coincidence that this World Series just happens to be a rematch of the biggest rap beef of this generation last year. And Drake put out push-ups as the first diss, and they win game one on his birthday. It's a crazy coincidence.
Yeah, because you know who is well aware of all of that is Rob Manfred.
It's just a great, no one's saying anything.
He's as locked in on what you just said as anybody named Rob or Manfred ever.
TJ, how do you survive?
Are we still making Manfreds?
I just sit in the corner.
he just roots for the Mets and says nothing.
What can I say? Man. I found a screenshot on my laptop because, I was cleaning some pictures up. And it was when the Mets were 20-9.
29!
That was a great day for you.
That's when I loved baseball.
Wow.
I loved baseball.
20-9.
And the I want to say the Rangers, the Blue Jays, I looked. I think they were at 15 wins at that point. They were in fourth place.
They started
the Mets
slow,
fan man. Troll so in my life, my buddy Steve from grade school, tried on for size with all of us in a text exchange, all us Yankee fans tried on for size. You're not winning just like the rest of us, except for, either Toronto or the Dodgers. You're just as bad as us. And we're like, no. But you can't pull that one off. You cannot pull off not even making the playoffs after taking Soto the mercenary and then losing. Collapsing. You can't just yada 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 away that collapse. Just won't do it.
That's true. I agree. Okay. You should stay on his neck about it.
Trust me.
When was the last time you loved baseball?
This season was definitely over expectations.
Traded away their best player and got better.
Brockman's back to the NFL. Yeah, he's good.
Allegedly their best player. You got to use allegedly.
Allegedly, I guess.
Yeah.
Have you seen Drake May play?
Yeah, he's back in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah, man.
He's locked in Luka land. And how about Austin Reeves?
We haven't talked about
his 50 piece.
Wow. Are we sure that just wasn't Luka in like a Scooby-Doo mask?
Those meddling kids. Got 51 out of Austin Reeves.
Austin Reeves almost messed around and got a triple double.
Absolutely, bro.
Good job,
listen. Okay. And then when we get Jokic in a few years, and the Lakers run that in-sync lineup,
it's probably going to happen.
It's about to be a wrap, baby.
Speaking of conspiracies, if that happens.
At first.
Oh, the Lakers just happened to get another star player in a midseason trade.
We only have a minute left, but I'll give you the floor. Walk me through the scenario in which Jokic winds up in Los Angeles. Walk me through it.
Well, it's going to be some sort of call from Luka after, for whatever season it is. And it's going to be like, brother, have you ever been to the beach over there in Denver? No. Come to the beach over here in L.A. Let me tell you.
He goes to harness races. He doesn't care about the beach.
You ever rode a horse on a beach, Rich?
I have not.
I think not, baby. Jokic, come on, man. Boy, whatever it is that they eat, we'll serve it at the game, bro.
Man. All right?
Have you seen his brothers? They eat a lot. Those are some big dogs.
Let me tell you something about Los Angeles. We will cater to you.
Okay.
Come on, man. Slovenia and Serbia are not close on the map. But you're aware of that, right?
Language. This is all great, man. All of it. Yeah. This is why I love doing this show. I didn't wake up today saying, you know what's going to happen at the end of the show is Mike Hoskins counts down the final 10 seconds. Is O'Shea's going to ask me if I've ever ridden horseback on a beach. And I'm going to have to come up with an answer on the spot.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.